through the book of First. It's just a great book that has a ton of great doctrine, but we're going to focus in at verse number 18. We'll start right there in 1 John chapter number 2, verse 18. The Bible said there, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out, that are going on. You know, within our movement, within the last year, we have seen men that we thought might have been great Christians, that might have been doing great things for God, and then they get caught up in some heresy, and then they get out of church, and they go out away from us. Well, what does the Bible say here? They went out from us. Why? Because they were not of us. Because had they been of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But they went out for what purpose? That they might be made manifest. And sometimes it can be discouraging when you see all the antichrists and when you see people that you thought were brothers in Christ that go out from us. You know, that can be discouraging. But look at what the Bible says in verse number 20. There's a word there, three-letter word. And this word, what does it say there? It says, but. Now, when you see that word but, we're crossing opposite sides of the street, aren't we? We're going another direction. And look at what the Bible says. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. And what I am preaching on here tonight is, but ye have an unction. Now, this word in the Bible, unction, is only used one time in the Bible. It's only used right here in 1 John chapter number 2. And we need to first see, you know, what this unction is. And if you were to look up this unction in a dictionary, you were to look up that word, what you're going to find in the dictionary is that word unction means an anointing. Now, look at what the Bible said there in that verse. The Bible said in verse 20, but ye have an unction from who? The Holy One. Now, let me ask you, who's the Holy One? The Holy One is Jesus Christ. You can go back and study that out. You can see where the Apostle Peter was speaking to the Jews and said that they had crucified the Holy One. So who is that? That's Jesus Christ, right? We have an unction from the Holy One. And what does that unction do for us? Look at what it says. And ye know all things, the Bible says. Now go on down in this same chapter. Look at 1 John 2. Look at verse number 27. And the Bible says right there in verse number 27, but the anointing which ye have. Now what did I tell you the word unction meant? Anointing, right? If you were to look it up in a dictionary. And so let's see if that goes with Scripture, right? Look at what the Bible says. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing, what does the anointing do? Teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Now let me ask you, your fellow believers here, I believe you probably know the Word of God pretty well. Who is it that teaches us of all things according to the Bible? It's the Holy Spirit of God. So when the Bible says the unction, the anointing that we have, who is that unction and the anointing that God has given to us? The unction and the anointing that God has given to us is the Holy Spirit of God. And you see there in the Bible that the Bible's talking about these antichrists, these men that have gone into heresy, they've gone out from the church, they went out from you because they were not of you. And you know what, don't you think that church could probably get a little discouraged from time to time? Don't you think the people to whom this is being written to, that when they had seen their brothers that they thought were brothers gone off into heresy, that they could get, you know, discouraged from time to time? Absolutely, right? So he brings this up. Hey, but ye have a what? An unction from the Holy One. You have an anointing from the Holy One. That is the Holy Spirit of God. Now take your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And look at verse number 21. Let's just establish this further in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. And look at verse number 21. See what the Bible has to say there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look at verse number 21. See what the Bible has to say there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 21. And the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 21. The Bible says right there, it says, for after that in the wisdom I'm sorry. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Am I reading the right one? No, I'm in 1 Corinthians. Let me get to 2 Corinthians chapter number. I promise I don't have an NIV up here. Look at what the Bible has to say. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. There we go. I'm in the right book. 2 Corinthians 1 verse number 21. And the Bible says right there, it says, now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is who? Is God. So God has anointed us. The Holy One, Jesus Christ, God, has anointed us. And what is it that he said that he would send the Spirit, right? I mean, take your Bibles, go back to John chapter number 14. Let's read it. John chapter number 14. Look at what the Bible has to say there. John chapter number 14. Look at verse number 16. See what the Word of God has to say. John chapter number 14. And look down at verse number 16. See what the Bible has to say. And the Bible says this in John 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Now, let me just hit a side note here. The reason why the world cannot understand the Bible is because they do not have the Spirit of truth. And they cannot receive it until they see the Word of God and they believe what the Word of God says. The Bible says that the Word of God, it is a spiritual book. I mean, the truth of God, the knowledge of God, these things are spiritually discerned, the Bible says, and the natural man cannot receive them. You see, you don't need all these other Bibles out there in order to understand the Word of God. What you need is, number one, to be saved, to believe the gospel, and God will give you the Holy Spirit of God. And if you'll get into the Word of God and study the Word of God, hey, you can understand all things. Look back at what the Bible says here. The Bible says in verse number 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be where? In you. Now look down at verse number 26. And the Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you of what? All things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So let's just put the pieces of the puzzle together. If we have an unction, which Christ has given to us, and that unction teaches us of all things, and we have an anointing, which God has given to us, and God has anointed us, and that anointing teaches us of all things, and then we see it's the Holy Spirit that Jesus gave to us, that the Father sent unto us, and the Holy Spirit teaches us of all things. Well, what is the unction? What is the anointing? The unction and the anointing that you have is the Holy Spirit of God. You see, this is why the soul winner, no matter who he is, no matter his disabilities, that he can go out and he can preach the Word of God boldly and he can see people saved, because it's not dependent on you and who you are. It's dependent on who God is. And because you have the Word of God, if you'll take the Word of God and you'll learn it, you'll study it, you'll seek it out, you'll learn how to present the gospel to somebody, hey, you've got an anointing. You've got an unction. And that unction will teach you how to be a soul winner. You want to learn how to be able to present the gospel to people? I mean, listen, some of you here are brand new soul winners. Some of you, this might have been your first time, second time going out soul-winning. Hey, you want to learn how to be a soul-winner and give the gospel to people and to be able to see people saved? Well, then you know what? You've got an unction. You've got the Holy Spirit of God. And you just need to take that gift that God has given to you and stir it up and learn the Word of God and allow the Holy Ghost to change you and to change your life and to change who you are and to go out and to seek after God's Word. And if you will seek after God and seek after His Word, then the Holy Ghost will teach you how to be that soul winner. You know why? Because you have an unction. Because you have an anointing that God has given to you. And when you get discouraged, just like these might have gotten discouraged, you need to think about what God's given to you. You see, the power that we have is not of us. Any power that I have in the pulpit when I stand up and preach does not come of myself. Because listen, if it came of myself, I would fall on my face and fail. You know why? And listen, I've done it in the past. I mean, listen, I have a speech impediment, and there are certain words that are hard for me to say. And I'll just tell you what it is. I have a hard time pronouncing my R's and L's and W's. So you know what? That's difficult when you get up and speak in front of people, isn't it? But you know why God has given that to me? You know why I have that speech impediment? To keep me humble. To recognize that any power that comes, that anybody that gets saved through my soul-in or the preaching, that it's not of myself, but that it's of God. Because I have an anointing, I have an unction that doesn't come from myself, but it comes from God. Because God has given to us that Holy Spirit that will teach you of all things. Now take your Bibles here and go to Acts chapter number 10. And look at what the Bible has to say there. Acts chapter number 10. Look at verse number 37. And see what the Word of God has to say there. Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 37. And see what the Word of God has to say. Acts chapter number 10 and verse number 37. While you turn there, let me just say this. You know, it is God's will for every single Christian to preach the Word of God. Amen. Now, it's not His will for every Christian to be a pastor. It's not His will for every Christian to stand up behind the pulpit and preach the Word of God. But it is God's will for every single Christian to go out and knock doors and to lead people to Christ. But you see, one of the problems with the old IFB is they've gotten away from this. One of the problems with a lot of Christians out there is they think it's the pastor's job. One of the problems is they think it's the evangelist's job or the missionary's job. No, the Bible says, word to God, all God's people were prophets. Amen. I mean, it is God's will that every one of us preach the Word of God. When Jesus Christ said, go ye into the world, was He just talking to the pastor? No, He wasn't just talking to the pastor. He was talking to every one of us, wasn't He? That's why when we go out, it's not just the pastor that goes out. It's not just the preacher and his father, the pastor. It's not just Joe Major that goes out. No, we go out as a group. We go out with everyone and we knock doors. You know why? Because God's given you the unction that He's given to the pastor. God's given you the anointing that the pastor has. And by the way, Jesus Christ had that same anointing. Look at what the Bible says, Acts chapter number 10. And look down at verse number 37. And the Bible says this in Acts chapter number 10, verse number 37. The Bible says right here, the word I say ye know, that word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God did what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Ghost. And with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. So you know what? That anointing, God gave it to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. And you know what the purpose of that was? Was the purpose of that just to go heal the sick? Now, did He heal the sick? Yes, He did. Did He heal the blind? Yes, He did. But did Jesus come just to do that and heal them physically? Is that why Jesus Christ came? No, Jesus Christ came for a better reason than that, didn't He? He came to save their souls. He came to see people saved. And God gave to Him and anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit of God. Now take your Bibles and go ahead and turn to Luke chapter number 4. And look at what the Bible has to say there. Luke chapter number 4. Look down at verse number 18. And the Bible says this in Luke chapter number 4, verse number 18. See what the Bible has to say there. Luke chapter number 4 and verse number 18. See what the Bible has to say. Luke chapter number 4, verse number 18, the Bible says this in Luke 4, 18. The Spirit, this Jesus Christ Himself speaking, and of course He's reading from what book? Isaiah, right? Look at what the Bible says. So this was prophesied in the Old Testament, wasn't it? Look at what the Bible says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to do what? Preach the gospel. Hey, the Ruckmanites are sure wrong, aren't they? Because what did Jesus Christ say here? He said that He was anointed to preach the gospel. And by the way, there's only one gospel that's found in the Word of God, and that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Don't let some of these Ruckmanites out there, like Bill Grady and these other guys that are out there, tell you that there is another gospel. Or tell you that Jesus never preached the gospel. Hey, Jesus Christ himself, what did he tell his disciples? For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights where? In the heart of the earth. Hey, you don't think that's the gospel? I mean, listen, you can even find eternal security in the Old Testament. Did you know that? I mean, listen, I preached a sermon not too long ago called Eternal Security from the Old Testament, and there is scripture after scripture after scripture. You just go through the book of Psalms and see how many times David himself talked about eternal security. And by the way, David lived during that so-called dispensation of the law. You see, it's that so-called dispensation of the law where they say that, well, they couldn't have known that they were saved because they didn't have salvation because they had to be saved by the law. Hey, they were never saved by the law. You know what the law was there for? To be their schoolmaster to bring them unto Christ. It was their schoolmaster to show them that they had a need of a Savior, because there's not one man that's walked upon the face of this earth other than Jesus Christ that could ever be perfect. And you know what? The Bible makes it plain in Galatians 3:21 that if a law could have been given whereby righteousness may be attained, it says, verily, it should have been given. But because it could not, you could not be saved by the law, there never was a law given whereby you could be saved. Now, I'm getting off track here, but look back at what the Bible has to say here in Luke chapter number 4. And look down at verse number 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the what? The acceptable year of the Lord. Hey, you know what? The acceptable year of the Lord, is that next year? Is it the year after? No, the acceptable day of Christ, the acceptable year of the Lord is now. The acceptable time for people to be saved is now. And you know what? The old IFB is just waiting for revival to be poured out, aren't they? They're just waiting for some kind of revival. They're always praying for a revival and begging their congregation to come down and to pray for a revival with them. Hey, you know what brings revival? The people of God getting into the Word of God, studying it out, searching it out, and getting out and going sowing in. That's what brings revival. The Spirit of God was poured out 2,000 years ago. I mean, the Bible tells us on the day of Pentecost, weren't they given the Holy Spirit of God? Yes, yes, they were. And yet Baptists today are sitting back and they're just acting like we got to wait on the Holy Spirit of God to do something. You know, it's the other way around. God is waiting for you to do something. Because you know what? You have an unction. You have an anointing. You have the Holy Spirit of God. You have the Word of God. You've got the knowledge. You've got the ability to do it. And you know what? God's waiting on you to get out and do it. I mean, listen, is God the same today as he was 2,000 years ago? Sure is. Don't you think God wants to see people saved? I mean, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. God wants his perfect will would be for every single person on the face of this earth to believe in his Son, to be saved. That is God's perfect will. But is that going to happen? No, we know it's not going to happen because men make a choice for themselves, and woe to us if we are the cause for why they did not get saved. Woe to us if we are the cause for why they did not hear the Word of God, because it is our job, because you have an unction. You see, it is your job. It is your responsibility. Think about how awesome of a responsibility that is, that a holy God, a perfect God, the creator of the universe, the one who breathed life into the breath of man, the one who sent his Son to die on the cross, and he's given you an unction and given you the responsibility to take it to the world. Think about what an awesome responsibility that is, that God has put that responsibility into your hands. Not just to the preacher, but to you. You know why? Because ye have an unction. Look back at what the Bible has say here. Notice what the Bible has say. Where do we preach the Word of God? Look at what the Bible said in verse number 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to who? The poor. You know the first people we ought to take the Word of God to, the gospel to, is the poor. We ought to be going to those that are poor, that are broken, that are lame, and taking the Word of God to them. But how many churches today have backed off of soul winning, and now they just go into the wealthy neighborhood to hang a bunch of flyers? Is that what God told them to do? God tell them to go hand out a flyer just by reading a tract. They're not going to get saved just by reading a flyer. You know why? Because faith cometh by what? Hearing or seeing? Hearing. Does hearing have to do with the ears or the eyes? Ears. And why is that? Because there must be, what does the Bible say in Romans 10? There must be a preacher. In order for them to hear, there must be a preacher that is sent so that they can hear the Word of God. Now listen, I'm not against using tracts as a tool. And then that's what it is a tool to get out there. But let me ask you a question. Did they have tracts back at the day of Pentecost? Did they have that in the Bible? No, they didn't have those things. But you know what? That's a tool we can use. But you know what? So many churches have become dependent on that instead of dependent on the unction. Instead of dependent on the anointing that they have. Instead of being dependent on the Holy Spirit of God and getting into the Word and learning how to be a soul winner and going out and preaching the gospel, they become dependent on a tract. They become dependent on a flyer. Listen, that's not what we're dependent on. That's not what God has given to us. God has given to us an unction that we may preach the Word of God to the poor. That's where we go first. Look back at what the Bible has to say here. In fact, take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter number 7. And look at what the Bible has to say. Luke chapter number 7, verse number 22. And the Bible says in Luke chapter number 7, verse number 22. And the Bible says right there, Luke chapter number 7, verse number 22. Then Jesus answering and said unto them, go your way and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, that how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Who do you think Jesus was going to? He was going to the poor. You know why? Because rich people usually don't want to receive the Word of God, do they? I mean, listen, didn't Jesus Christ tell us that? Jesus Christ told us it would be harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. Now, how big is a camel? Pretty big, right? How big is the eye of a needle? You really think that camel can fit through that eye of a needle? So Jesus was giving us a pretty good illustration there that it is going to be very, very rare that a rich person is going to receive you. And in the days of Christ, when Jesus was on this earth, was it the rich who received him or the poor? I mean, who were his disciples? Were they rich or poor men? They were poor, hard-working men, weren't they, for the most part? And it was the poor that received it. So, you know, when we go sowing, in the first place we need to reach is the poor. You know, when you go back home, wherever it is, I mean, you may go back and you don't have a new IFB church to go to, but you know what? You need to get sowing and going in your area. And you know what you do? You get yourself a map, and you figure out where the poor areas are, and that is where you start sowing in. That's where you go, and you start leading people to Christ, because you know what? You're going to have a whole lot more success there than you will in that rich neighborhood. Because you know what? The rich man thinks that he doesn't need God. The rich man sees that he has everything that he needs, and he's not dependent upon the Lord. And so you know what? It is that poor man that recognizes he needs God. It's that poor man that will recognize that there's something else that he needs to help him in his life, and he ought to be taking the gospel to the poor. You know why? Because ye have an unction. You have a responsibility because God has given to you the tools that you need to be a soul winner. And I don't care what the excuses that you have. You may say, well, I'm too young. You may say, well, I'm too old. Well, I'm too this. I'm too that. I can't learn. I have a hard time memorizing scripture. I have a hard time doing this. I have a hard time doing that. You know what? I have seen Christians. I have been soul winning for 25 years. I got saved when I was 5 years old. I've been soul-in since the time I was a young man with my father. He took me out soul-in. And you know what? I have seen a lot of people that if you looked at them, you would think there's no way this man could ever be a soul-inner. You would think there's no way this man could ever get up in front of somebody and speak the word of God and preach the word of God to them. But lo and behold, they learn how to do it. They go out and they see people saved. You know why they see people saved? Because they have an unction. Because it's not dependent on their ability. It's dependent on the ability of God. And you know what? His ability far outweighs the abilities of this world, doesn't he? I mean, listen, the Bible tells us greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We can overcome this world. And we can overcome those fears and that nervousness that you might have because you have an unction. Listen, I can't tell you how many times I've had people ask me, Pastor Joe, do you get nervous when you get up to preach? And you know what I tell them? No, I don't get nervous. What do I have to get nervous for? I don't have to get nervous. I don't have to get fearful when I stand up to preach, when I go out sowing. I don't have to be afraid. You know why? Because I have an unction. Because I have an anointing. And listen, I don't have to be afraid because that unction, that anointing that God has given to me, the Bible tells me, God hath not given me the spirit of fear, but of what? But of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be nervous. You know why? Because I have an unction. When you go sowing in, you don't have to be afraid. You know why? Because you have an unction. When you go back home, you don't have to be afraid of your friends who are going to make fun of you. You know why? Because you have an unction. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be nervous. You know why? Because you have an unction that God has given to you. And if you'll just depend on the Holy Spirit and learn how to do it, you have nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, listen, the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you know what you're talking about, why do you have to be ashamed? But you know what? If you're not studied, you don't know what you're talking about, you would be ashamed, right? I mean, if you went out there and knocked that door, and you knocked on somebody's door, and you asked them, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? And they said, no, can you tell me how? And you said, I don't know. What scripture do I go to? You'd have to be ashamed, wouldn't you? But you know what? If you put in the work and you've gone through and you've marked your Bible, you've put in the work and you've looked up some videos and learned how to go soul-inning from other preachers and other Christians who have taught you how to do it, and you studied the Word of God and saw what the Word of God said, so much so that it was in your mind that you can do it from memory, and somebody says, yes, show me, you don't have to be afraid, do you? You don't have to be ashamed. You know why? Because you have an unction. Because you have an anointing from the Holy Spirit of God. Look at what the Bible has to say here. In fact, take your Bibles and go ahead and go to Romans chapter number 1. Look at verse number 16 and see what the Bible has to say there. Romans chapter number 1 and look at verse number 16. See what the Bible has to say there. And no, I'm not preaching on the reprobate doctrine tonight. Look at what the Bible has to say in Romans chapter number 1. And it's great doctrine, but that's not what's being preached tonight. Look at what the Bible has to say. Romans chapter number 1. And verse number 16, the Bible says this in Romans 1, verse number 16. Notice what he says. First, a few words there. For I am not what? Why do you think he's not ashamed? Why is that? Because he has an unction? Because he studied to show himself approved unto God? Listen, there are Christians in the Word that I could show you were ashamed from time to time. In fact, we might look at it this week. How about the Apostle Peter? Wasn't he ashamed of Christ at one point in his life? Sure was, but did he have to be ashamed? He didn't have to. Now, Christ prophesied to him that it would happen, but Christ knew that it was going to happen. Was Christ controlling Peter? We're not Calvinists. That's not what we believe. Christ knew that that would happen because Christ, being God, had foreknowledge. But you know what? Peter had a choice, didn't he? And Peter was ashamed of Christ. You know why? Because at that point in his life, he was kind of weak in the faith. At that point in his life, he wasn't dependent on the unction. Instead, he was probably relying on the flesh at that point, don't you think? But yet, Peter was saved at that time, wasn't he? Look back at what the Bible says here. The Bible says this in verse number 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, knows this, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now let me say this, where we don't go today is to the Jew first. Where did the apostles take the gospel? To the Jew first, right? I mean, they went throughout the whole house of Israel and took the gospel to them, but the Jews rejected Christ, didn't they? And listen, today, you know, Christians act like we ought to be going to the Jews first. No. You know where you take the gospel to? You take it to those that are receptive. Now listen, I want the Jews to be saved. I want them to believe the Word of God. I want them to enjoy salvation, to be able to join with us in that. But you know what? The first person I'm not going to go to is a Jew. You know why? Because they're not receptive. Because they don't want it. Because they teach that Jesus Christ is boiling in hot excrement in hell. Because they teach that Jesus Christ was the bastard son of Mary who had had an immoral relationship and had committed adultery with the Roman soldier Pantera. And the Jews today, they don't to the nation Israel today, and they won't let a Christian in who's coming in to do missions work, will they? You come in as a missionary into the nation of Israel, they're going to send you right back out. You know why? Because they don't want the gospel. Listen, I personally know some men over there that are in that land from the old IFB that are there as missionaries, and they have to go on night raids. This is literally what they do. They go out at nighttime on night raids, and they just put out a bunch of flyers everywhere they can. They have to be real careful that they don't upset the wrong people. They'll get... That nation doesn't want the Word of God. You know where we go? We go to those who want it. You see, when we go out soul in, we're not trying to get into an argument with somebody. We're not there to win an argument against an atheist. We're not there to win an argument against a Jehovah Witness. We're there to find that one that wants the gospel. Amen. You see, that's why Jesus Christ said that He would make them fishers of men. Hey, when you go fishing, do you catch a fish every time you catch the hook? Nope. What do? You draw it in, trying to bait that fish. You keep drawing it in. If you don't get anything, what do? You cast it right back out. And you just keep going and going and going until you get a hook. You know, that's just what soul winning is. That we go out and preach the Word of God, and we try to find somebody that we can catch a hook on. We try to find that one that wants the Word of God, that is receptive. Don't be of this attitude of some Christians I've seen in the past. They knock on a door, and then when somebody comes to the door, they stick their foot in the door, and they keep the person from closing the door, and they have the attitude, I'm going to give you the gospel whether you want it or not. That's not what we do. No, we give the gospel to those that want it. You find the person that wants the Word of God, and you give him the Word of God, because you know what? You're going to waste a lot of time with that person that doesn't want it. Yep. When you could be going down the street, and there's somebody walk that wants the Word of God, that wants the gospel, and because you had to win that argument with that atheist, because you had to win that argument with the Jehovah Witness, the Mormon, the whoever it was, you missed the one that wanted it. You know what? You need to learn how to be a fisher of men. Let that one go that doesn't want it and find that one that does. Jesus Christ said, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Cast not your pearls before the swine, Jesus Christ said. You know why? Lest they turn again and rend you. Because you know what? There are people out there that don't want the Word, and we have an unction because God has given us a responsibility to find those ones that want the Word of God, that want to be saved so that they can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look back at what the Bible has to say. Let's look at some more scripture. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and look at verse number 6 and see what the Bible has to say there. 1 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 6 and see what the Word of God has to say there. Now this scripture here, when I fully understood this and this got put into effect in my life, this changed my preaching. It changed my soul winning. Look at what the Bible says here, 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and look at verse number 6. 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 6, and see what the Bible has to say there. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou do what? Stir up the gift of God. Now, what is that gift of God? I'll give you a hint. It's not faith, but it says it is, right? The Calvinist will tell you, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, the gift of God is faith. No, it's not. That gift of God there is salvation. But you know what? There are multiple gifts of God that are given to us in the Word of God. What is this gift that he's talking about? Look at what the Bible says. The Bible says right there, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what? And of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You know what? You are able to endure afflictions. You know why? Because you have an unction. Because you have the Holy Spirit of God. You have an anointing. And if you'll stir it up, if you'll get into the Word of God, if you'll go sowing it, if you'll be a disciple of Christ and continue in the Word of God, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, and you'll stir up the gift of God. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You don't have to be ashamed to be a Christian when you're around those friends, those worldly friends. But you just start giving them the gospel of God and preaching the Word of God to them constantly. I guarantee you those old friends are going to leave you pretty quickly. I guarantee you it won't be long to cut them off, because they're going to cut you off. And you know what? You don't have to be ashamed of that if you'll stir up the gift of God that is within you. That gift is the Holy Spirit of God. I don't care if you've been saved 25 years or if you've been saved one day, you've got the same unction. You've got the same anointing. And if you'll stir up that gift of God, and that gift of God, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if you'll stir that gift up, you'll have to be ashamed to be associated with this movement. I'm not ashamed to be associated with Pastor Anderson. I'm not ashamed if somebody were to call me an Andersonite or whatever they want to call me. You know what? Because, you know, if I was going to be ashamed of them, I might as well be ashamed of the Apostle Paul. You know, that's what he's telling them there. He's telling them, don't be ashamed of the gospel or of who? Or of me, his prisoner. I guarantee you there are a lot of people that said that Paul was crazy. I guarantee you there was a lot of his family and his friends, because remember, the Apostle Paul was Saul before, and he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a very learned man. He was a man in position and power and prestige, and had made a name for himself, and he was in a place where I'm sure a lot of those old friends probably made fun of him. A lot of those old friends spoke evil of him. A lot of those old friends said some bad and nasty things about him. But you know what? The Bible says, great is your reward when men speak evil of you for my name's sake. You know what? We ought to rejoice in that. If somebody is speaking evil of you because you have obeyed the Word of God, hey, great is your reward in heaven. And you know what? You need to be willing to leave behind the old attachments of the world and of the friends and of the family. Hey, Jesus Christ said that if you will not leave father or mother or sister or brother or houses or lands, you're not worthy of me. That's what Jesus said. He said, take up thy cross and follow me. What do you think that means? What does the cross represent? Cross represents suffering. The cross represents persecution. It represents what Christ went through. And if they have hated him, will they not hate you? Amen. They sure will. And you know what? You need to be willing to take up your cross and to suffer for the cause of Christ. And you can do that. And you can endure the afflictions because you have an unction. Because you have an anointing. Because you have the Holy Spirit of God. If you'll stir it up within you, you know what? You can endure throughout that. Take your Bibles, go to Jeremiah chapter number 20, and look at verse number 8. Now, Jeremiah is a great example of this, because you know what? Jeremiah was a man that endured some suffering. Jeremiah was a man that endured some persecution, some afflictions. He even said that his own familiars had turned against him. Who's his familiars? His family. right? His family had turned against him. I mean, they all spoke evil of him. They had all turned against him. They cast him into prison. They basically called him a traitor. I mean, Jeremiah went through some hard times. And you know what? There was a time in Jeremiah's life when he got discouraged. There was a time when he wanted to stop. Now, let's just be honest. Hasn't there been a time in your life since you've been serving God, since you've been saved, since you've been sown in, that you probably wanted to stop? Isn't there a time that you said, I've had enough of this? I mean, my family's turned against me. Everybody's turned against me. They've rejected me. They're persecuting me. I mean, I'm not seeing a whole lot of people saved. I just want to stop. Hasn't there probably been a time like that? I guarantee you there has. I can tell you, as a matter of fact, listen, I've had those same thoughts, and I'm a pastor, and I've been saved for 20 years. I mean, I was serving God when I was in the womb because my parents were going to church and serving God. I've been in church my entire life serving God, and you know what? There have been some times I wanted to quit. To be honest, there have. But you know how you get through that? Because you have an unction, and if you'll do what Jeremiah did. Look at what the Bible says in Jeremiah. What chapter did I tell you? Chapter 20, let me stop talking to get turned over there. Jeremiah chapter number 20, and look on down at verse number 8. Jeremiah chapter number 20 and verse number 8. See what the Bible has to say there. Jeremiah chapter number 20, verse number 8. And the Bible says this in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 8. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. So what has happened to him for preaching the word of God? He's going through some reproach. He's going through derision daily, the Bible says. Look at what it says here in verse number 9. The Bible says right there in verse number 9, the Bible says, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You know what Jeremiah said? He wanted to quit. There was a time that he wanted to stop because he's going through reproach and derision daily, the Bible says. He wanted to quit and stop, but he says, I couldn't. Why could he not stop? Why did he say, I could not stay? Because his word was within my bones that I could not stay. Amen. Hey, if you'll stir up the word of God, if you'll put the word of God within your heart, within your mind, within your soul, you'll seek to be a disciple, to continue in the word of God, there'll be a time, yes, that you might want to quit. There'll be a time you might want to shut up. There'll be a time when you go through some persecution and you want to be silent, but because the word of God is in your heart, it'll be burning in your bones that you can't be silent. Amen. You know why? Because you have an unction and you stirred up that unction. Because you stirred up the Holy Spirit here. But what spirit do you have? You have the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And if you will get this concept in the Word of God, it will change your preaching. It will change your sowing in. It will change. You'll realize you don't have to be afraid. If you realize you don't have to be nervous, you don't have to worry about your family. You don't have to worry about your friends. You don't have to worry about the attachments of the old life and everything you've left behind. You know why? Because you have an unction. And if you'll stir it up, God will give you the power that you need to get through those times. Jeremiah, hard times. You just read the book of Jeremiah. He went through some things that some of you have never been through. Jeremiah, his whole family turns against him. He's cast into prison. And by the way, that prison's not like our prisons. I mean, to go to our prisons compared to the one he went to would be like going to a resort. I mean, he was thrown down into a prison where he sunk in the mire. I mean, think about that. He's sinking in the mire. He didn't have a sure place to stand down in there. But you know who was his rock? Jesus Christ. You know who his rock was? God was. And because he had made God his rock and his solid foundation, and he had built it upon the Word of God, and the Word of God was within his heart, he could not stay. Keep preaching the Word of God. Keep giving the Word of God. Keep sowing in. Keep praying. Keep seeking after God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you, Christ said. Seek after God and seek after His Word. Stir up that gift which is within you. Let's end in a word of prayer, and then I'll turn it over to Brother McGregor tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank what You've shown us in Your Word tonight. I ask that You'd help us to take these things, to search them out, to study them out. Let it be something that just motivates us to do more work for You, Father. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're dismissed tonight.
Okay, now we're going to dismiss right now. It is a good service tonight. God bless you for being here. We booked Brother Major's weekend solid with a lot of work. So I felt bad about that. So we decided to do the CN Tower right now. So those who want to come along with us, hook up with that. The Holy Ghost on us as we go forward, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Let's see you tomorrow.